Welcome to the Ladies of Metal Show, featuring interviews with metal bands, where we keep you up to date with everything surrounding the metal, underground, and alternative community. This is the Ladies of Metal Show.
Welcome back to the Ladies of Metal Show. I'm Carly Gwen, aka Gwen Anastasia. So this show is free, obviously. All the episodes are streaming now. You can go back and listen. And if you're feeling charitable, maybe you feel like helping me out. That's awesome too. You can always hit that donate button at the link in my Instagram bio at the Ladies of Metal Show. Give me a follow while you're there. And for more info on partnering with the show and sponsoring an episode, email Gwen at theladiesofmetal.com. Just on a personal note, I'm so glad that things seem to be opening back up again, at least where I'm at. In the Philly, South Jersey area, restaurants with outdoor seating are opening with restrictions, of course, but I'm just thinking like good timing for summer, but this could also be a step toward us figuring out how to have live shows again. As far as new music goes, I hope you had a chance to check out the new Ghost Inside record, the debut full-length record from the supergroup End, and Currents also released a new one since my last episode, so make sure you give those three a listen. And today, I'm super excited to chat with a guitarist in one of the heaviest bands I listen to, The Acacia Strain. Tom Smith is going to call into the show from North Carolina, and if you've been trying to keep up with the band's unconventional method for releasing their new songs, so is Tom. So we nerded out a little bit as far as some unexpected pop artists we're both into, and Tom just started his own podcast. So more info on that too. So here's Tom Smith. It's the Ladies of Metal Show. Okay, so first, I just wanted to say, I guess that you're originally from Jersey.
I am. Did you notice my area code?
Yes. I was like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, it's funny. I was listening to a couple episodes earlier today, and I listened to the one with Pat from Fit, and I thought it was funny that you were from Jersey also. I was wondering if you were going to catch that.
Yes, of course. Yeah, the same thing happened with him, and also Andy Marsh.
Oh, yeah. He's like a honorary American. Actually, I think he's got American citizenship, but he's basically a New Jersey resident now.
I was like, what's up with this 201 area code? He was like, oh, well, I just made everybody in the band get New Jersey area codes so they would like match me or something. I was like dying. It was so funny.
Yeah, that's great.
I just never heard anybody with an Australian accent say they love New Jersey so much.
Yeah, for real.
That was so funny. So, Tom, throughout this whole time that we've been locked up, I've been kind of creepily wondering what the Acacia Strain's gonna do next, which has been kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
You guys have been doing something a little different. So can you tell us about the whole process of releasing your new music in kind of an original way?
Yeah. Without going... I can't go fully down the rabbit hole with it just because there's still stuff that's got to come out.
Okay.
But basically, I mean, this is all Vincent's idea, 100%. I wish I could take any credit for it, but to be honest, when he told us the idea, I was like, I don't know, man, that sounds like it might be terrible. I was really iffy on it just because for me as a listener of music and of bands, I don't like to listen to singles. Like, I usually wait for the whole record to come out, but he had this idea, and I trust Vincent a lot. Like, obviously he's kept the band around for as long as he has, but even just on an artistic point, like us doing It Comes in Waves was his idea, and I didn't understand it at first, but I trusted it, and I just kind of figured that releasing the music the way we are now of like two songs every so often, building up to the full album that it'll all compile into. I just had to trust him with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. I didn't know at first. I was like, oh my God, did I like miss out on another record? Cause they just put one out in like December. I was like, I was already trying to like get all that down as like a fan. And then like all this new stuff was coming out and I was like, oh my God, what is happening? But then, so I wanted to ask you this. I might just be like making this up. So like, basically, you guys have four,
I don't even know what to call it. It's like little EPs, and each one has two songs on it, and each one is a letter.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it's D-E-C-A?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, so I was like, oh, maybe this is going to spell like a word at the end. I was like going way too conspiracy theory into it, because right now it spells like Deca or something. I was like, oh, maybe that's like Greek or something.
It's definitely going to spell out an English word, but I won't say that because it's really, well, one, I'm not going to because I'm not allowed to, but two, it's really, really fun to see the guesses that everybody has. So yeah, that's been like the most fun part of it. Also the most infuriating, because some of the guesses are so bad that I'm just like, what is wrong with you?
Like not even close.
Like we've had multiple people guess that we were spelling out decade because Wormwood came out 10 years ago. And that is the, like, I'm sorry to anybody who might be listening to this. If you guess that, you're so wrong. It's insane. Like what? You think we wrote a whole new record to promote a 10-year-old record? Come on. No.
Why? Oh, man. The conspiracy theories mixed in with, like, people are probably real bored at their house. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. I think it's also that we just, like, none of us have given any insight as to what's correct or what's wrong. That it's, like, so, like, I think people are just, it's like the reverse psychology thing of, like, maybe it's too obvious. Oh, wait, maybe that's too obvious. And people are just going down a rabbit hole with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a rabbit hole of sorts. And I think that people are like just so obsessed with like the instant gratification. They're like, I'm going to figure this out because I need to know right now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I've had people like message me like angry, like, what? Why won't you just tell us? And I'm just like, dude, like, let us do our thing, man.
Yeah, just be patient. Like, I'm sure it will pay off in the end.
Yeah, it 100% will. It's a cool thing that we're doing, so just trust the artist.
Exactly. I was going to ask if more is coming out, so I guess yes.
Yeah, there will be some more. Not going to say how many more letters, but definitely there will be some more. And then it will culminate into the record itself that may have more things to it, may have less things to it. I don't know. It's going to have something, though, but it'll... There's more coming.
All right. Awesome. The other thing that I was thinking was if this was Vincent's idea, was this always the idea, like quarantine aside?
We got really lucky that, I mean, not lucky because quarantine, the whole state of the world is terrible right now. But yeah, this was the idea since last, when did we record the record? We made the record in September. And while we were at the studio, Vincent was like, hey, this is my idea, I want to do this, and he just kind of dropped it all. And while it really sucks that like all of us and the rest of the world's touring cycles are just destroyed for the whole year, I think the best thing for us, and I mean a lot of people have reached out telling me how important it is that they have our new music to look forward to in a time that bands are not touring, so that's definitely the benefit. But yeah, this wasn't like a, oh shit, the tour's canceled, let's put this out this way. Like, we had the first two songs come out before the tour was canceled, before all the quarantine stuff. So we honestly just got kind of lucky in a sense with the state of the world and how we were going to put it out. But yeah, it was definitely an idea from way before the state of the world right now.
All right, cool. Yeah, because I was like, it was probably the plan all along, because I was like, they probably didn't record this like a couple months ago, so...
Yeah, we've had it on the in the chamber for a little bit.
All right, cool. So did you get to play any of the shows on that Rotting Out Creeping Death chamber tour?
Yeah, we I think exactly 2 weeks into the tour that we had to go home, which sucks because since we're based out of the Northeast, whenever we have a headliner, we start on the Northeast, and we had just enough time to make it all the way to California for it to get canceled. So then we had to drive back across the country with 3 more weeks left of a tour that we couldn't do. So yeah, it was a pretty shitty timing of everything.
So what happens at that point? Like, you've ordered merch.
Yeah, we had gotten a reorder the day the tour got canceled too.
Of course.
Yeah.
Holy crap. So then you just have to like drive home, and then like what happens?
So the last day of the tour, before we really knew what was going on, like the 5 or 6 days leading up to the tour ending was really confusing, just because you've got so many different people telling you different things, like promoters telling us the show is still on, venues posting that all shows are canceled, fans being like, hey, I heard this show is canceled. What's going on with that? And we're like, we have no fucking clue. For us, it was just kind of like a, we're going to go there and play if we can play. So we did it as long as we could. I think we were actually one of the very last bands to be playing shows, like, in the whole country.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but we had to play 2 shows at Chain Reaction in California the same day because of the gathering regulations. We had to split it up because it was a sold-out show. So we played, like, a matinee show, and then a few hours later played a normal time show. And then we, by the end of that day, we knew that the tour was canceled, but we were trying to just figure out a way to get a few shows to get us back to the East Coast. So we had booked like 3 or 4 last minute shows, one of which we only actually got to play, and we had to do it as a 4-piece because Devin, our other guitar player, lives in California. And we were like, okay, well, we're just trying to get home. There's no point in you playing these shows just to not even know if you could get back. Like, we had heard all these, like, travel bans and whatnot and, like, statewide border lockdown. So we played a show in Vegas with 24 hours notice with, I think, still something like 150 people still showing up at a VFW, which was insane. Like, for 24 hours in the middle of a pandemic, that's mind-blowing. Like, I had such a new appreciation for our fan base in that time. And then literally the very next day, as we were driving up to Denver to do another one of those like last minute shows, I was the one driving, and I just hear Vincent from the very back seat of the van just being like, tour's canceled, go to my house. And we just had to start the trek to Iowa to drop off Griffin, our bass player, and then back to New York to get like the van, the trailer, the gear and everything back in where it had to be. So that was a nice stressful end to a stressful tour.
Oh my God, that's like such a mess.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass.
I mean, I guess it could have been worse, but like, damn. Yeah, that is like, I don't know, it's unprecedented. So obviously there was no like plan in place. But so how does it work like in normal life? How does it work with you guys like not living in the same place, like as far as like practicing or like planning for tours or like writing? Like, how does that work?
Well, I mean, with practicing, that's the simplest thing. We kind of just do our own, like, independent practice and keeping our chops up. And then we meet up for, I want to pretend like we're a band that's super, super serious about rehearsing. And like, oh, we get together a whole week before the tour and we practice for 8 hours a day. But in reality, we meet up 2 or 3 days before a tour, run through the set list a few times. But we've all played these songs so much and practiced them on our own so much that it's really just putting it together, you know? But yeah, so that's the simplest thing. I mean, as far as booking tours, like, we all know that tours are coming, so it's just a matter of our booking agent, our manager, and the band communicating and being on the same page of like when a tour starts, when one ends, when there's something like super important in someone's life going on that they can't tour during, like just keeping all that together. And then writing, we just write on our own, and then we put things together. Me and Griffin, like, Griffin owns a studio, and I worked for Will Putney for a number of years, so I'm really hands-on with studio stuff, as well as Griffin, and Devin's got enough experience where he could demo stuff out, and then we just kind of have, like, a shared Dropbox that we just throw demos in, and when it comes time to record, like, the actual record, we just compile it all into one big thing and go from there.
That seems like a pretty solid system.
Yeah, I think we've got it worked out pretty well. I think it's super common now for bands to function this way, but I think, I mean, it's just so second nature to all of us, because since I've been in the band, I haven't, like, lived in the same state as anybody, you know? So I think we're all just kind of used to using technology to our favor.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It seems to work out well as far as, like, the finished product of the songs, too. Like, it doesn't sound like you put it together, like, you know, over time with like Dropbox and stuff. So
yeah, and I think it's, I mean, this is just my personal opinion though, but I think doing that way keeps it really cohesive. It sounds kind of backwards that working separately and then putting it together would be cohesive, but I think it I think it allows each of us to kind of make our own songs as good as possible before presenting them to the band, and then the band tweaks from there as a whole, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so I guess two things. You said you worked with Will Putney?
Yep, I was an engineer for him for about 4 years. I started off as like an intern with him and Machine, just like learning the ropes, and then eventually he hired me on as like an engineer and producer for a number of years before I decided to step back from record making. But yeah, I worked with Will, I mean, every single day for 4 years straight.
I'm like a big fan of Will's, and I actually just had him on the podcast yesterday, so.
Oh, sick. Yeah, I love Will. He's a huge part of my life. Like, we don't always get to see each other, obviously, because now I live in North Carolina. But yeah, he and I worked real closely for years, and good buddy of mine.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to go through the interview with him yesterday without like trying to name like all my favorite records that he's produced. I'm like, this is gonna take up the whole interview time, so let's just not.
Yeah.
He's just like so influential in heavy music, it's like insane. Like, he just has a hand in like so many records that I love personally, so.
Yeah, I learned so much from working at that studio, and I got to see so many different bands like with songwriting and just learning how to produce them, that it taught me so much, and it made me super passionate about songwriting.
Is that something that you would maybe go back to?
As far as working for him or like working with him with the band?
I guess maybe just engineering or producing as like a whole. Like, would you ever want to do that? Like, if you decide I don't want to be in a touring band anymore, would you want to do something like that?
Yeah, so I'm kind of, I chose to step down from working there because I didn't want to be, I still wanted to play. Like, you kind of, in a way, working at that studio, you have to pick playing or recording. And I mean, that's kind of obvious just from the fact that Will is a member of Fit for an Autopsy, but hasn't toured with them for, I mean, almost 10 years now. But I just wasn't feeling fulfilled only getting to help facilitate other people's creativity. I felt like I still had a lot of writing and touring left in me because, I mean, I started working for him at 20. So it's pretty young to be stopping focusing on playing like I always dreamed of, to then only want to work on other people's stuff. But it honestly, during this quarantine, like I've gotten, since I've had so much time to kind of just think about my role as a musician and in the world, that's kind of something that's been brewing in my head more, but I don't want to do it really with metal bands. Like, I'm totally down to do that, but I'm the kind of guy who I listen to so much different music and I play so much different music that I'm trying to work my way into the more like mainstream world as far as production and even my writing goes. Like, I've spent so much time writing pop music this entire quarantine. Like, I've just been trying to broaden my horizons on the production and the writing side of different genres that if I were to get back into like recording full time, I would probably focus more on like more of a mainstream audience, if that makes any sense. Like, I will always be a metalhead, and it'll always be like my core genre and what I carry myself with, but I think there's so many people doing metal and doing it well now that I would want to be breaking, kind of taking the approach of a metal band and using that for more mainstream style music. So I'm totally open to it, but I would do it way differently than what I had done before.
Okay, well, I was definitely not expecting to hear that you've been working on pop music, but I feel like that's pretty cool. Like, why not?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much music on the planet that I have never understood why. Like, I think metal especially is pigeonholed in the you've got to be true and you've got to be authentic, but I think it's so much more authentic to just listen to what connects to you, you know? Like, I'm not gonna say fuck this band because they don't fit the image I want to create, you know? Like, I mean, I listen to Taylor Swift as much as I listen to Slayer, you know? There's no reason for that.
Wow, that is an image. Like,
yeah, I'm very much not a, like, for as metal of a guy as I am very much not a metal guy.
Well, I don't think any one person, even if they want to make it come off like that, is like listening to the same genre all the time, because like, wouldn't that get boring? Like, ugh.
That's the thing. Like, you wouldn't eat the same food every day of your life. So why would you only listen to one thing?
Right.
Yeah, I just don't understand the genre purist thing, I think. Like, I like people who are dedicated to a genre, but fucking listen to other things too, man, you know?
Right. Yeah, you gotta mix it up. Because then, also, I feel like you don't appreciate it as much if you don't have, like, a contrast.
Yeah. You can learn so much from listening to other music. Like, there is no denying the fact that listening to pop music influenced the way I write for Acacia Strain, you know? Like, you're not gonna hear, like, an 808 kick drum and a clap snare drum like in a pop song, but there's things that I take from listening to that music to then like pepper throughout the metal stuff, because I think the coolest thing about pop music is that there's truly no rules. Like, you can have guitars, a percussive keg hitting, and then a keyboard and a synthesizer and 16 vocal harmonies going on, and it's on the radio. Or you could have literally just clapping and a piano behind you and it's on the radio. So why not use those same mentalities and approaches to a metal band that just adds more dimension to it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really smart. And, you know, it also like furthers your journey as a musician. So you don't get like pigeonholed into a certain genre. And, you know, like as a musician, you should be like expanding your talent.
Yeah, I think just learning is the key. Like, you should never want to stop learning about the music you're playing.
Exactly. I've noticed recently that I'm like more drawn to like three pop artists than I've ever been drawn to any pop artist. And they're all like putting out music right now. And my number one girl is Halsey.
She's awesome. I think she's from Jersey, isn't she? Also?
Yeah, she's from North Jersey, I think.
Yeah, I think she's from Edison, which is like right. I'm from Woodbridge originally. So when I found out that she was from Edison, I was like, holy shit. Like, that's right next to my town.
Yeah. And she's had like kind of a rough start as far as like her parents kicking her out because she didn't want to go to college. And now she's like super successful. And I don't know. It seems like she's like grounded. Like, she thinks that she's like not very good, which is like ridiculous. And I also think she's like super edgy, which I can appreciate from like coming from the alternative culture. So yeah, she's like technically classified as a pop singer, but I kind of like would lump her in more with like Paramore almost.
Yeah, I definitely consider her to be like that kind of like that gap of darker and more alternative than just like a straight pop singer, you know?
Yeah. And then another band that I really like is Paris.
Oh yeah. That first Paris record, I used to literally listen to it and on my break at work, and I would sit there and write down the song structures because I was so obsessed with how simple they were and how catchy it was. But while it still had that, like, we're not your normal pop artist, but we're also not like a metal band, but they kind of fall in between those. Yeah. Paris is sick.
They're awesome. And I feel like maybe they started as like a heavier band, but now it's like a little, I feel like it's like new wave. It's like 80s. It sounds like the 80s sometimes. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of different stuff going on with them.
They're so good. And then weirdly, never thought that I would be into this, but like Machine Gun Kelly's new stuff that's like pop punk.
Yeah, I was not into MGK, and I still wouldn't call myself like into MGK, but there's a few songs that I've been hearing like single wise with him, and I'm like, all right, this is sick. Like, this is taking, I mean he's a good example. Like, he's got like rap stuff with pop punk stuff with alt rock stuff with like emo stuff going on, you know? And yeah, he's actually a really good example of kind of just using so many different sounds to create like a new persona, or almost like a new following for himself.
Because not all rap fans just listen to rap. Like, they probably do like, you know, that 2005 emo or like post-hardcore sound. And I mean, I'm not like a rap fan at all, but yeah, this pop punk kind of like emo stuff that he's putting out, I was like, yo, do I like Machine Gun Kelly now? Like, what?
Yeah, the first time I heard one of the singles and I was like, oh god, this is who this is? Shit, all right.
I know! I had seen some things he had acted in and I was like, oh, he's actually kind of good. Like, he seems like a cool guy.
He was great in that Motley Crue movie. He played that part perfectly.
Yeah, well, because he's like, I don't know, I feel like he's probably a lot like Tommy Lee in real life, like kind of like spazzy and jumpy and stuff. So I was like, oh yeah, like that's perfect. Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, I love Motley Crue. So I'm, even though it's like a kitschy version, I'm definitely down to watch it.
I feel like I got reconnected with them after I saw that movie. I was like, oh my god, I like kind of forgot about Motley Crue, but now I need to like go back and listen to every single record.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Dirt is one of my favorite movies. I feel like I've rewatched it like 3 or 4 times since last year when it came out. It's so good.
Yeah. I want to read the book too, but I don't read very often, unfortunately. But I want to read the book at some point. If there's an audiobook, I'll listen to that.
So I don't read very often either, mostly because I feel like my attention span is like shot. Like I'm always like thinking about like 45 things at once. But I did read that last summer. And it was probably the best book I've ever read. So I highly, highly recommend.
My mom and my dad, actually, maybe just my mom. I know for sure my mom read it when I was like way young, like right when it first came out. I think my dad might have read it too. But I know that there's like a copy at my parents' house that I'm always, anytime I'm there, I'm like, should I just grab this book and maybe one day I'll read it? But yeah, I haven't done that.
Yeah, you should definitely try to sneak it. Or, yeah, audiobook, obviously, is a good idea, too.
Yeah.
Especially if they're the ones that are doing the audio. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, that would be sick.
All right. So I guess the last thing I wanted to make sure I asked you about was I saw that you now have your own podcast.
I do. It's funny, actually. It's pretty much everything that we talked about for the first 15-20 minutes of this call. It's all based around songwriting, and I only have 2 episodes out now. One is just like I literally just launched it this past Monday, so 4 days ago. But it's basically just me talking to people that I know are songwriters and are passionate about songwriting and about their approach. And I try to make it more about the mental aspect of songwriting than the like physical, like, oh, how did you get this guitar tone? Because I don't think that, I mean, you could learn a lot from that, but I think there's so much more that goes into the mental aspect of writing and finding a vision and understanding what you're trying to accomplish and getting that down before you put notes into a computer, you know? Yeah, so it's basically just, I mean, right now it's starting off with just all my friends in bands, like people that I know through the industry and I've toured with. And luckily, I've been, between my time with Will Putney and touring with the Acacia Strain, I've made a lot of songwriter friends. So I've got tons of people on the show already or like lined up for interviews. But yeah, it's basically just trying to highlight different ways to write songs, different ways to think about songs, different ways to pull influence and benefit your songwriting. Yeah, I mean, that's the guts of the show. Like, obviously we talk about some other stuff, but it's basically just trying to learn about what inspires artists that people might want to learn about and listen to.
That's such a cool idea. And I'm trying to think, like, I don't listen to, like, you know, 100 podcasts or anything, but I do enjoy them. And I feel like I don't listen to anything that kind of explores that side of music. So, like, that's really cool that you thought to do that.
Yeah, I listen to a shitload of podcasts, and a lot of them are music-based, and a lot of them are, like, not music based, but I love all the music based ones I do, and I will gladly listen to the same kind of stories over and over, but I wanted to get into something that was a little more hands-on with my guests, and something that I basically wanted to create the podcast that if I was 15 years old now trying to learn and become better at music, I would listen to that and go, oh shit, my favorite guitar player said this, I'm going to try that out, you know? Not saying that I'm someone's favorite guitar player, but like one of my guests. Like if there was a show that had like Jeff Hanneman on it talking about how he wrote this, that like the riff of Angel of Death, I want to know about that, you know? And that's kind of what it does.
That's so cool. I didn't know what I was, wondering was if you only had, like, you know, instrumental players on your podcast, or if you also have, like, singers talking about, like, lyrics, like, lyric writing and how to, like, phrasing almost.
Yeah. So far, I've done, I think, 9 interviews so far, and I'm going to put it out weekly. And I was waiting to launch it just to have a little buffer. So far, I've had just guitar players, just because that's the majority of, I feel like guitar players just do the majority of songwriting, but I've also had a couple drummers on and a few like drummer producers or guitar player producers. And it's cool to kind of see the side of the performer versus the producer and how their views overlap or how they differ and what you can learn from that in-between area. But honestly, anybody who is really genuine about their art, whether it's lyric writing, instrumental songwriting, producing, that's who I plan to have on the show. Like I'm even open to having some, like, if I somehow stumble upon somebody who's like a small filmmaker that I like, that's got really cool usage of art. Like I really just want to highlight people who have a vision and they see the vision come to them. You know, I'm really big on like setting intentions and meeting that intention and how you get there along the way.
Yeah, like kind of like respecting the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the idea of like putting out there what you want back. I don't know. I'm really into like mindfulness practice and like meditation and just like gratitude practicing, which is furthering why I'm probably like the least metal person out there. But I think there's a lot of value from looking in yourself and understanding why you want to create something and being able to highlight that with somebody else and let other people learn that, because I don't think there's enough emphasis on the personality and the mental side of music versus like you know that emotions are involved, but I don't think there's enough highlight on how you get there. You know, that's always a big question for a lot of people, is how do I write this song? Well, these are some things that I think about when I write. These are some things that XYZ guest thinks about. And now you as a listener, you can take both of those and then reflect on how it works for you and then try to put that in motion.
I mean, I think that could be really beneficial for people that have good ideas but maybe don't know how to execute them. And then they get to listen to people that they already respect and like really admire.
Yeah.
And you called it riff-filled land. I think that sounds so cool.
Yes, it's a nod to the band Sleep. They're one of my favorite bands, and they have a lyric called that says "Follow the smoke to the riff-filled land." And when I was like thinking of a podcast name, that's just like one of my favorite lyrics ever. And I was like, "Riff-filled land, there it is." Writing songs, because originally the idea was that I was gonna take a riff, and me and my guest were going to write our own song based on it and analyze that. But that's a logistical nightmare and like scheduling nightmare and expecting someone to take the time away from doing that. But yeah, the name came from that originally, Sleep and that idea. And I just was like, fuck it, I'm keeping this name. This name's sick.
No, that makes total sense. I was like, this will obviously have something to do with guitar, but I was like, I got to get to the bottom of that name.
Yeah, that's so it's basically a Sleep reference that I'm not into Sleep, and using it as the basis of like highlighting that it's going to be about songs, you know?
Yeah, of course. That's awesome. Well, I think we shouted out some stuff already, but let's just do your social media real quick and the band's social media. And then of course, where we can find all this great new material that's coming out.
For as far as the band goes, at The Acacia Strain for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, obviously just search The Acacia Strain. New music's going to be popping out. I mean, I know the schedule of when music is coming out for us. It's kind of, I have to constantly text the band and be like, is stuff coming out this week or next week? But yeah, I mean, like all the normal music outlets like Spotify, iTunes, like you could buy the stuff from our merch company, Merch Connection, Rise Records. And then my personal social medias are on Twitter. I'm tsmith_WAV. And then on Instagram, it's just tsmith678.
Awesome. All right. And I'll link everything down, you know, under the episode so everybody can follow you up, and I'm like trying to keep up with all the new music. I'm like, did I miss any this week? Like, I don't want to be behind.
I got a text from, I tweeted a few days ago, I don't know what we have out anyways, so here's our merch sites, and I just listed them, and then Vincent texted me, was like, hey, do you not feel involved enough? Like, I don't know what I could do. I want you to feel involved with the merch stuff. And I was like, no, I can't fucking keep track of it because we have so much shit happening.
I don't know. I just feel like every band is just releasing, like, all the merch they didn't sell on tour, a bunch of, like, random music that they had in the, you know, in the Dropbox. And so I'm just trying to, like, you know, navigate everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, and I forgot to also, for the podcast, if anybody wants to hear it, it's on Spotify and Apple, Riff-Filled Land, and then Instagram is at Riff-Filled Land Pod.
Yay! All right, cool. So you said there's two episodes up there already?
Yeah, there's two. There's one with that I did just like I took some questions from social media and did my own little like introduction. And then the second episode is with Mike Moynihan from Chamber and Hollow Earth. And then I think the next episode I'm going to put out is it's going to be, his name is Matt Guglielmo. He filled in on drums for us for a year. He played drums with Spite for a bit, played drums for Straight from the Path on like a Japanese tour. And he also works for Will Putney now. So he's my next guest on there.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like Chamber is like not the next like Knocked Loose, but as far as like how they sound, but like the trajectory, I just feel like everybody's talking about them and they're on like all these awesome tours. And I saw they were on your tour that got canceled halfway through.
Yeah, they deserve to be the next Converge. They are the best dudes and we've toured with them 3 times and they're one of my favorite bands on the planet. So hopefully you're right.
Yeah, I was like, I definitely need to pay attention to these guys and see what they're doing. So, okay. So, I mean, I hope that maybe I'll get to see you guys soon because I was trying to go see this tour and then it got canceled and I don't know. I was like, oh crap. Like the little Facebook notification came up and I was like, no.
Yeah. It still bums me out when I think about it because that tour was so cool and it was so many of our friends and like people that we had then became friends with. That was just one of those tours where like I was a fan of every band on it, and that's always the most fun tour to be on. So I trust me, I feel you.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that because I hadn't seen you guys in a little bit, so I was like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. We got these like, you know, these like 7 new songs. I was like, this is gonna rule. And then of course, but it's like, you know, out of our control, but hopefully when, you know, the world opens back up again, you guys will come back towards Philly and I'll get to see all these cool new songs that you've been putting out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Awesome. All right, Tom, well, I really appreciate the call. This was an awesome chat.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You just heard another episode of the Ladies of Metal Show. Subscribe to our channel so you never miss an episode. Need more metal in your life? Listen to Ladies of Metal Radio on the TuneIn Radio app. This is the Ladies of Metal Show.